the book of Isaiah this morning, and we're going to be in chapter number 25, if you can turn there. Our lesson this morning is to actually cover chapters 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25. So we're not going to do that this morning, but I did want to go to chapter 25, and we'll just kind of make note a little bit of the other chapters before we begin in our lesson this morning, and make sure this is going to work. It does, all right? And so chapter 25, the book of Isaiah, and we're just going to stay in this one chapter this morning instead of going through all the other chapters. I just want to kind of give a little bit more emphasis on this chapter being chapter number 25 this morning. There's only 12 verses in the chapter. We're not even going to cover all 12 verses. We're going to look at a few this morning and talk about something that I think is going to be important that we as believers look at this morning and to understand some things here this morning out of this chapter. But let's do this. We'll pray first, as we always do, and then we'll just get into our lesson here this morning. Chapter 25 of Isaiah, but let's pray first. Heavenly Father, we do love you. Thank you, Lord, for this day that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, that it is Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for our time that we have, that we can come together this morning and take a few moments to kind of look into your word and find something that, Lord, will help us. And Lord, as it helps us, Lord, help us maybe to be a better Christian, that we can serve you even more and serve you better in this world that we live in. And then, Lord, we hope and we pray that the ultimate outcome is that our life can make a difference in this world that we live in. And God, we just pray that you help us to do that. We live in a very needy world, and Lord, a world that is, Lord, so confused and so backwards and so upside down that sometimes, Lord, it's hard to even know, Lord, how to reach people and what to do at times. And God, we do pray for wisdom. We pray for understanding this morning, and that you would help and bless this morning. We do pray for, no doubt, many in our church who have prayer requests this morning. Lord, very needy prayer requests. People who are, Lord, maybe that are sick. Maybe there's someone that we know of that's away from the Lord. Maybe there's someone we know of that needs to be saved. But God, we do pray that you help supply the needs this morning of your people. We do, Lord, uplift and bring before you, Lord, our missionaries and ask for your blessings upon them. Bless their lives, their families, their marriages, their works, and may you give them fruit for their labor today as they serve you around the world. Lord, we do pray, Lord, for our nation that we live in. We pray, Lord, for revival in our land. We pray for our church this morning, for any needs that may be present in our church. We pray, Lord, that you would help supply those this morning as well. We pray now, Lord, as we take just a few moments to study, to look, to read a few verses, and Lord, to meditate upon them, we pray that you would bless in this time. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, we're in chapter 25 of the book of Isaiah. I'm just going to make reference to the chapters that come before. As I mentioned to you, our lesson actually begins in chapter 24 this morning and runs all the way through the end of chapter 25. Now, the preceding chapters basically is dealing with Isaiah, the prophet of God, delivering the message of God about the judgment of God that was about to come and what life was going to be like during the judgment. It was very, Isaiah goes into a lot of detail sometimes about specific things that are going to happen when the judgment of God comes. Most everyone that he gave that prophecy to did not believe that. In fact, even the people of God didn't believe. Many of them did not even believe that the judgment of God would actually take place. Now, I'm here to tell you this morning that when God chooses or decides to judge a people, it's going to happen. It doesn't matter whether we believe it or not. That doesn't have any bearing on the outcome. And as you read chapters number 20, 21, 22, 23, and most of chapter 24, it's a lot of doom and gloom. It's a lot of prophecy about the days of the judgment of God, and they're very, very important. But now, it's interesting, and the reason I choose chapter 25 this morning, that it's interesting through all of this as he delivers this, that Isaiah actually pauses here in chapter 25 and basically takes this chapter, almost the entire chapter, just to praise God for who he is. And that's so very important. That's kind of a little bit of my focus this morning of how important it is in life that you take some time And even though the days may be dark, even though we may be going through difficult hours, difficult days in life, it is very, very important that we understand that it's so important that we as God's people praise Him for what He has done and what He's going to do in life. And so that's kind of my thought this morning, and I'm kind of giving that to you as I get into chapter number 25 here, reading a few verses here just to remind us of how important it is. No matter how bad the day may be, it's always good to just meditate a little bit on the blessings of God in life. Now, every one of us this morning has been truly blessed of God. We could spend a lot of time this morning on the blessings of God. And sometimes I think it's good to do that. We put a lot of emphasis on prayer requests, and we ought to. Prayer is very, very important. We need God to do things on our behalf, and prayer is very, very important. But, you know, sometimes it's good just to take some time and just praise God for what He's done and give God the honor and the praise that's due unto Him. But chapter 25, if you would, we'll jump right into it here in verse number 1. The Bible says, O Lord, Thou art my God. Now, Isaiah makes that comment often about my God. He realized and understood that God was God, but He was his God. He's my God. And boy, it'd do you a lot of good if you just realize and meditate sometimes and realize, you know, that God in heaven this morning, hey, He's my God. I mean, it's possessive. It's mine. I mean, He is my God. And he starts off in verse number 1, O Lord, Thou art my God. He says, I will exalt Thee. And in this chapter, Isaiah is going to work very hard here to exalt the Lord. He's going to praise the Lord. He's going to brag on God. He's going to exalt Him, if you would, in chapter 25. He says in verse number 1, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast done wonderful things. Thou counsels of old are faithfulness and truth. So as we look here at verse number 1, and as the chapter begins, he talks about the possession that he has and that God is his God. Now, you know, this morning, you may have a lot of possessions this morning, but there's none greater than God. And I'm glad this morning that the God of heaven is my God this morning. And we find here in verse number 1, there's a few statements that he gives. And it's very obvious in this chapter that Isaiah was giving some hope beyond the judgment of God that was going to come upon the people. God has done some wonderful things, and that's what he mentions here in verse number 1, and he says, Thou hast done, which is a past tense. So Isaiah, no doubt, is looking back in his life and realizing that God has done some wonderful things in his life and under the life of the people that he's given the message to. And, you know, this morning, it's good to stop sometimes in life and kind of look backwards a little bit. Now, I'm afraid sometimes too many Christians spend all their time looking backwards, but it is good as a believer to look backwards in life and realize some things that God has done in our life. Are you with me this morning? He has done some wonderful things in our lives. And everybody this morning, could I maybe testify, and maybe, I jotted down just a few thoughts this morning a little bit, thinking about what God has done in life, and I jotted down several things for my life personally. I'm glad, number one, God saved me. And because I am a child of God, He is my Father this morning. So as Isaiah would look back, and he reminded them that God has done in the past some wonderful things in life. Even though the judgment of God is going to fall, and even though there's going to be massive destruction in life, and even though God is going to judge people for their sin, he is reminding them and pausing a little bit and reminding them that they have a wonderful God. You know, this morning I thought to myself, I jotted down, number one thing I have to be most thankful for in my life is that God saved my soul. Now, if you're a believer here this morning, then you can look back in your life and look to a day where God saved your soul.
I don't know where you may have been. I'm sure you can maybe remember the location, maybe the place, maybe who was around at that point or whatever events took place in your life. But I'm glad that I can look back to a day and know that was the day that God saved my soul. Now, it's in the past, but it's good for me to look backward sometimes and realize what God has done. You've got to realize in verse number 1 that he uses the statement here when he speaks of God, for thou hast done wonderful things. So those wonderful things that he's referring to here is in the past. I'm glad this morning that God has saved my family. I jotted down that I'm glad that God has blessed me. Now, that's a general term, and I could go into a lot of details about maybe some specific things that God has done in the past to bless me, and there's nothing wrong with doing that. Sometimes you got to be careful; it may come across as bragging sometimes. But I can testify and look back in my life and realize that there was a day that God saved me. There in the past, there were times when God saved my family. There were times in the past where God has blessed me specifically in areas. I can look in my past and realize, hey, God has protected me. I can look back into my life and realize and see that there were times when God answered my prayers. I can look in my past and realize and understand that God has been good to me. I can witness and testify that I have personally seen God do some things in the ministry that were very special in certain ways. God has provided for me. And I can look in my past and I can see all these things that God has done. And it's good to look back sometimes. Because sometimes all we see is the problems that we have today. All we see is the health problem that we have today, or the financial struggle that we have today, or the difficulties of life that we have today, and the uncertainties that we have in life today, or the heartbreak of today. But sometimes you've got to get your eyes off of today and look back and realize God has done some wonderful things in the past. It's good to see those. It's a reminder of what God has done. But here's what I want to get at, and it's very, very important we understand this. It is very important that we also realize that not only has God done wonderful things, we also need to testify this morning and realize God's also going to do some wonderful things. It's not all just in the past. I've got news for you. God didn't die last week. God's still very much alive today. He's still on the throne. And whether we want to admit it or not, God is still in control this morning. And I just believe this morning that God not only has done wonderful things, but God's going to do some wonderful things. And Isaiah's going to remind the people here that, man, we serve a wonderful God, even though it may be a difficult day today. And even though we may have to endure some of the judgment of God, even though things aren't going to look very bright today, Isaiah says, but look in the past and realize God's done some wonderful things back there. And God's going to do some great things in the future. You'll find that Isaiah at times reminds them that there's coming a day the Lord's going to return. Boy, that's going to be a wonderful day. Boy, whoo, my, how things are going to change that day. I don't know when that day is going to be. Is it going to be this week? I don't know. Could it be today? Could be. Is it going to be another year, 5, 10, 15, 20? I do not know when the Lord's going to return, but I do know this, that there is coming a day when the trumpet is going to sound. And when that trumpet sounds, the Bible tells me that the dead in Christ shall rise first. They get first priority. And whether I'm in the grave or whether I'm still living at that time, I'm going to meet the Lord in the air, the Bible says. You see, not only has God done some wonderful things, but God's going to do some wonderful things. You know what I believe? I still believe that, I honestly believe this, I still believe that everything that I just kind of listed in my own life, for instance, God saved me. You know what I believe? I believe God is still going to save some people in the future. I believe that God's going to save some people today or next week or next month or next year, no matter how dark the day may be. Hey, I still believe that God is going to save some lost soul. I believe that God's going to rescue somebody's family. I believe that God is still going to protect someone. I believe that God is still going to bless someone. I believe that God's still going to do some great things in his ministry. I believe that God's still going to provide for those. Those are things that I look back in my past and say they're back there, but I believe they're also going to be in the future someday. We serve a wonderful God. And how's all this going to take place? It's all going to take place by what you find at the beginning of verse number 1. Oh Lord, thou art my God, and God is still God. You'll find in verse number 2, for thou hast made of a city a heap, and a defense city a ruin. You got to understand in verse number 2 that most of the people believe that the Babylonians, if you would, and that's what most of this is referring to, that they were a very powerful people. They were a very wealthy people. They had very strong army. They had a very strong defense. They had a very strong city. And from man's point of view, the city and the nation of Babylon were very strong. But God, as we find in verse number 2, we're going to find that God's going to take that city and he's just going to make it a heap. He's going to take, if you would, the defenses of that great city, and it's going to mean nothing to God. There is no defense that God can't break down. There's no strong city that God cannot destroy. There's no nation or group of people that's too strong for God. And even though man may look at something as impossible, we have to remind ourselves over and over and over, there's nothing impossible with God. And Isaiah believed this message. Let me stop right here and say this. It is very, very, very important that the messenger, the preacher, if you would, believes what he's preaching. Did you hear me this morning? And the reason I say that is because there's so many people that are standing in pulpits today and they don't even believe what they're saying. We've got too many men and yes, women in pulpits today that don't even believe half the book that lies on the pulpit. You better believe what God says. Isaiah was a firm, when Isaiah prophesied about the city and how that even though it's got a massive city, even though they were strong, even though it had great defense, even though it had a great army, he's going to make it a heap. He's going to make the city a ruin, a place of strangers to be no city. It shall never be built. He was going to completely destroy that nation, that city, if you would. And Isaiah, he believed that it was going to happen. Oh, my soul, deliver me of preachers that don't believe what they're even preaching sometimes. Oh, dear friend, we ought to believe every message, every word that comes out of the Word of God this morning. And when God makes a promise, you can mark it down. He's going to keep that promise. And when God tells you something's going to happen, it's going to happen. It's not a might so or maybe so. It's going to happen so. I mean, it's going to happen. When God says something, it's going to happen, dear friend. And Isaiah, even though he was just the messenger of God, he believed every word that he was delivering unto the people. He still believed that God had done some wonderful things in the past. He still believed that God was going to do some wonderful things even in the future, dear friend. I don't know what all is going to take place in this week, but you know what I believe? I believe God's going to do something great just this next week. I believe God's capable. Hey, dear friend, we've gotten so laxed a little bit. We've kind of forget. We kind of doubt God can do things. Hey, God can do anything he chooses to do this morning. Well, I just don't know if it can be done. I'm tired of preachers saying, well, you know, we live in the last days. Oh, come on. I'm not saying we don't live in the last days, but when preachers start that moaning and groaning about, well, we live in the last days, what they're saying is God can't do it anymore. I'm tired of preachers that don't believe God can do it anymore. Come on, help me. God can still do it, dear friend. You know what? God can still save your loved one. God can still heal the sick. God can still build a great work. Hey, God can still give revival. Well, we can't have revival anymore in our land because of all the wickedness. Revival has nothing to do with wicked people. It has everything to do with God's people. Now, you may be right. The reason we don't have revival is because of God's people this morning. Some of you could testify this morning. You can remember a day when churches had revival, and it was all week long. You say that in Baptist church nowadays, and you'll kill half the congregation. They'll die of a heart attack. Revival for one solid week. You mean tell me I got to go to church all week long? Well, the sad thing is 90% of them wouldn't come all week no ways. Come on. That's why we don't have revival. Isaiah, and I jotted this down. When I got to verse number 2 and he's prophesying about something that was going to happen, I thought to myself, I bet half the people who didn't believe me, they're thinking, there ain't no way, you know, that city's going down. That's the greatest city in all the world. It's got the greatest defense in all the world. That nation can't be destroyed. They're the most powerful nation that there is. And you know what? When Isaiah gave verse number 2, he believed every single word of it. It's important that we as God's people believe what we have in God's word. Let me ask you something this morning. Do you believe a revival can happen? I think we all would shake our heads, yes, it can happen. But boy, when we get to the part of why doesn't it happen, we're going to scatter in a lot of different directions because there's a lot of reasons why we don't have revival. But when it really comes down to it, dear friend, the only reason we're not having revival in our country this morning is because of God's people. And boy, when you even mention God's people, you know, that's just a general term, God's people. Then you got to narrow down who is God's people. You know, there's a lot of people this morning that are calling Lord, Lord, and God doesn't even know who they are. We need to move on. I got stuck here on verse 1 and 2. Let me move a little faster here. You'll find in verse number 3, there it says, therefore shall the strong people. Now, I'll stop right there, and I want to tell you real quickly, I want to be the strong people. It says right here, and shall therefore shall the strong people glorify thee. It's amazing. The strong people are the ones that Isaiah says that's going to glorify God. Now, you got to realize, we're not talking about when they're on the mountaintop. We're talking about when people are in the valley. Boy, it's easy to praise God on the mountaintop. Boy, when you're down and discouraged and disappointed and about give up all hope, you're down in the valley, it's tough to praise God sometimes when you're in that position. You see, this morning I jotted down, truly strong people know God and have confidence in Him. I think it was in a lesson book. I like that statement. Truly strong people know God and have total confidence in Him. That's what makes a person strong. It's not your bank account that makes you strong. It can vanish in a matter of minutes. It's not your good health that makes you strong this morning. Because your good health may leave tomorrow. It's not your power, it's not your ability, it's not your talent, it's not your personality that makes you strong. What makes a person strong is when they are in the valley, they can still praise God. That's a strong person. If you have your Bibles, just keep your finger, we'll come right back there. Let's go to the book of Acts. And I want to show you something just real quick. I don't usually jump off course here, but let's go there real quickly. And let's look at something here that I enjoy reading. I like to read it quite often, be honest with you. Acts chapter number 16. If you can go there, if I can find it, we'll go there. Acts chapter 16. I love this in this chapter here, and I've got it kind of noted in some places. It's going to be something you're very, very familiar with, but I want to show you two people that I think they're strong. In chapter 16 of the book of Acts, in verse number 23, the Bible says, we're talking about Paul and Silas, you know the story here, but look at verse 23. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, right? So Paul and Silas, you know the story, they were taken captive, if you would, and they're getting ready to be thrown in prison. Before they threw them in prison, they took care of a little business. First thing they do is they lay many stripes upon them. What do? They beat them. And then the Bible says they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison. And the word thrust there means they did it very forcibly. Going to prison back then wasn't like today. You know, today you go to prison, we want to make sure you get a good full diet every day. We want to make sure that you get breakfast, lunch, supper. We'll give you a library to go to. We'll give you educational courses. If you don't have a high school diploma, we'll help you get that. If you don't have a college degree, do you know that prisoners can get a college degree in prison? Do you know who's paying for it?
you are.
Now, you try walking down to Madisonville Community College and say, I want to get a degree here, but I don't want to pay for it. Now, if you want to get a free education, just go to prison. You can get one there. But anyway, I don't recommend that. But anyway, so here they are. They're thrust into prison, verse number 24. They made their feet fast in the stocks. I mean, they couldn't even walk. They couldn't get around. They couldn't stand up. If you had to go to the bathroom, you just go to the bathroom there. You don't get privileges to go to the restroom anywhere. It was a very, very, very... And also, by the way, it says thrust into the inner prison. It was in the dungeon part. No light. Damp, wet. Most people would die of pneumonia inside this inner prison. And here they are in stocks, in prison. And verse number 25, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. That's a strong person, dear friend. Let me tell you why. Because they can find a way to praise God in the darkest hour of their life. That's what makes a person strong. You see, this morning, you can't kind of decide whether a person is strong or weak when they're on the mountaintop. You find out whether they're strong or not when they're going through the through the valley of destruction, dear friend. I wonder this morning how many, even in our own room, maybe going through a difficult week. Maybe last week wasn't the best of weeks for you. Maybe there was some difficulties that came about. Maybe health-wise, financially, marriage, children. Maybe the devil attacked you in different ways this past week, and maybe this past week was one of the darkest, hardest, difficult weeks that you've had in a long time. Let me say, the best medicine for you this morning is find a way to praise God. So, well, how can I praise God? You look back, number one, and see what God has done. And you start realizing all that God has done in your life and realize not only is it a has been, but it's also going to be something that can happen in the future because God is still on the throne this morning. And after you go through chapter 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, you go through those five chapters, you're going to find that it's dark, it's doom, it's gloom, it's destruction, it is death. It is people losing their families, losing their homes, losing their city, losing their nation. Total destruction. But yet Isaiah finds a spot here in chapter 25 just to kind of stop for a moment and just remind everybody, hey, God is good this morning. Paul and Silas, beaten. They hadn't even been before the judge yet. You know, in Bible times, judgment was usually given before you were ever sentenced, one way or the other, guilty or not guilty. You reckon there was any corruption back then? You better believe there's a lot of corruption. They beat them. They laid hands upon them. They thrust them, not into prison, but the inner prison, the worst of the worst. And some of the most foul, ungodly people were in that prison. And they just didn't throw them into prison. They put them in stocks, made it where they couldn't get around, couldn't walk, at least walk around in their cell or in their prison a little bit. And here you find them at midnight. What are they doing? They're praying and singing praises to God. You know, when you can sing praises unto God, when you have been falsely accused, falsely put into prison, put into the worst of all prisons, beaten before you ever even get there, put into stocks, you know, if you can praise God even through going through all that, dear friend, you are a strong Christian. I'd like to say maybe I would do that, but I don't know. First thing I'd want to do is call my lawyer. Am I right? You know who they call? They call God. They didn't need a lawyer. They didn't need their one phone call. They knew who had all the answers. They knew who was going to help them through that time. And that's why the Bible says they prayed first and sang praises unto God. You know, I just believe that Paul and Silas prayed. You know, I believe when they finished that prayer, they knew victory was on its way. Hey, they didn't pray and walk away from that prayer and say, well, I just don't know if God's going to do it. You're not going to sing praises when you doubt God. Boy, they sang praises unto God. They fully believed that God was going to deliver them. Isaiah, let's go back to chapter 25 here. I got off track a little bit, but in Isaiah chapter 25, I'm only on verse what, 3, you'll find that that he mentions here, therefore shall the strong people, in verse number 3, glorify thee. And that's what makes a strong person, a person who may be going through some of the difficult days of life, but they can still find a way to praise God. You know what this world needs more than anything today is to be able to see the people of God praise God once again. I'm going to be honest with you. Most people of God this morning is not doing a lot of praising. We discuss a lot of our problems. We discuss some of the sickness that we have to go through, and disease and cancer and heart problems and surgeries and struggles and drug addiction in life and not being able to make enough money to pay the bills and bankruptcies and on and on and on it goes. That's where most of God's people are today. And I'm not saying that when you're going through those difficult days that it's not very serious. I understand that it's serious, but we've got to get past that somehow, some way, and start praising God for what He has done and what He's going to do someday. Verse number 4. Isaiah starts to describe to him how that this God that he's saying, He's my God. Verse number 1, he says in verse number 1, I'm going to praise Him because He's done some wonderful things. And in verse number 2, He's going to do some wonderful things. And He's going to do some things in verse number 2 that you may not believe He can do, but He's going to prove that He can do them. Verse number 3 describes the strong people are the ones going to be able to praise Him, even though they're going through some very terrible, fearful dark days. And in verse number 4, he's going to describe them of some of the protection that God gives to His child. He says in verse number 4, for thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm. Man, I could just, you know, we could preach all day just on that, how that God is a refuge in a storm. It doesn't mean the storm's not taking place. When it describes a refuge in a storm, it means the storm is taking place. God doesn't stop the storm. He just gives you protection through the storm. And by the way, Isaiah says, and He's my God. He's my God. He says in verse number 4 that He's a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat. Interesting, some things that he kind of describes here about who God is. Isaiah describes God's protection as offering a strong hand to the poor. How that He gives strength to the needy. Isaiah speaks in verse number 4 of how that God is a refuge from the storm. He's a shadow from the heat. You see, God is a safe place. You ever hear that garbage in the news about safe zones, safe places and stuff? That's a bunch of garbage. Everybody's wanting a safe place. Listen, there's only one safe place in life, and that's under God's hand, dear friend. There's no safer place that you could ever be in your life than in the center of God's will. I'm thankful this morning that I live in the United States of America, and I do feel safe in my country this morning. I didn't go to bed last night in fear that somebody, the government, was going to overtake my property, my home, and my family. I thought never enters my mind. I feel safe where I'm at. But you know what? This morning, my home's not a safe place if it's outside the hand of God. The only way my home and my life and my family and my children are safe is when they're in the center of God's will for their life. My wife reminded us this morning that North Korea is wanting, or said they may blow a ship out of the waters. Did you see that in the news? One of our destroyers. And it's real close. What is it, right out of the Philippines? Well, my daughter's going to the Philippines in a few weeks. Now, that very much concerns my wife. I try not to think about things like that. But it's a reality. But I don't know of a safer place for my daughter to be than in the will of God. I've got news for you. You can drive home from church today and some drug addict that's stoned out of their mind this morning can run over and kill you on Highway 41. I mean, you better be careful if you leave church. Some of the church members run over you getting out of the parking lot. We're in such a hurry to get to the restaurant. Don't ever come here on Monday morning when school's about. I dare you stand outside about 2 minutes to 8 on a Monday morning at school. There's not a more dangerous place in three counties than at Grace Baptist parking lot at 2 minutes till 8 on Monday morning. I mean, they'll run over you. We're joking a little bit. That's why, Brother Dwayne, you ever got hit out here, run over a little bit? We're joking a little bit, but listen, there's no better place, no more of a safe place for you to ever be in your life than in the center of God's will. And if God's will is for you to be in Africa, you'd be more protected in Africa this morning than you would in Madisonville, Kentucky. What is God? He starts describing who He is. He's strength to the poor. He's strength to the needy in his distress. He's a refuge from the storm. He's a shadow from the heat. You see, this morning, God can take care of your life. And Isaiah saying, even though the judgment of God may come and God may destroy a nation, God may destroy a city, and it doesn't matter how big, how powerful, how strong it may be, it's nothing compared to the strength of God. But even though you go through all this, God is still a refuge from the storm. He's a shadow from the heat. You see, this morning, God still loves His people. And even though some bad things happen in life, and even though destruction comes in many forms and fashions in life, you have to understand and realize through it all, God still loves His people. It's pretty amazing, too, that Isaiah even... I got to hurry. My time's out. But look down to verse number 8. Speaking of God, he says, He will swallow up death in victory. Now listen, when your God can overcome death, you don't have any problems. You see, this morning, I think I've got a fair degree of problems in life. You know, we can start listing some problems and troubles that we have in life, and we can kind of put them down on paper and start describing the struggles we have today, or I've got this problem today, or man, this here's terrible in my life. Whatever you want to put on a page, listen, no matter what you write down, God has already overcome it all. We just think we have problems. And sometimes I feel kind of bad sometimes trying to convince somebody that maybe has, you take someone that maybe has some bad news from a doctor and they maybe have cancer and they're only given 2 weeks to live or whatever the case may be. And I mean, what are you going to tell a person? I mean, there's not much hope, there's not much of a bright light to be able to give unto them. There's not really anything you can say to help them other than that we find here in verse number 8 that God has swallowed up death. There's victory in death. Isaiah spoke about the fact that through the Lord, death will be overcome. I don't know, maybe one of the greatest truths in all of life is that there's life after death. This isn't it. The grave's not the end. When you really look at it, the grave's actually the beginning. This duration here, this is it's not even a second compared to eternity. And sometimes we've got to be reminded that not only were there some wonderful things God's done in the past, and not only is God going to do some great things in the future, but boy, even past what we would even look at as the future, we've got a home in heaven. And I don't know of any greater possession in life than salvation. You'll find in verse number 8 that he discusses a little bit about death and how that he says in verse number 8, and the Lord will wipe away tears from off their all faces and rebuke his people shall be taken away from off all the earth. And as it says, for the Lord hath spoken it. Verse number 9, he says, and it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. And I like this last little phrase. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Sometimes we as God's people are very guilty of not praising God and rejoicing enough in our salvation that God's given unto us. I'm glad God saved me. I'm glad to be in church this morning. I'm glad to be a child of God this morning. I can't imagine living life not being able to rejoice in the salvation that God gave to me. We've got to stop. Our time's out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this day. God, I pray that you help us to praise you for the great things that you have done. But Lord, may we realize this morning there's some great things you're going to do for us in the future as well. And God, we pray that you help us to be able to take time in life where we can stop and pause and praise you for what you are doing and what you're going to do in life. God, you're the only one this morning that's worthy, and we praise you, we thank you, we honor you this morning for all that you have done and what you're going to do. We pray that you bless our service this morning. May you bless God's people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.